We are now lucky to hear from Dr. Kathleen West, and she is going to spend the majority of her time presenting on the Leadership for Women's Health, developing and coordinating partnerships to operationalize First Ladies initiatives in Africa. She will also touch on the cook stoves in Sierra Leone project as well, but she doesn't have a formal presentation for that today. And so just a little introduction, Dr. West is the Director of Evaluation for FOCUS, which is at the UCLA Semmel Institute for Health, for Neuroscience and Human Behavior. She has master's and doctoral degrees from the UCLA School of Public Health and has worked extensively with at-risk and high-risk families in many contexts, both in the U.S. and internationally for nearly three decades, with a focus on intergenerational addiction and mental health issues. She's served as a consultant for many, many organizations, too numerous to list today, and has extensive experience working around the world. And so I think we've had some really great presentations so far on the importance of the partnerships and coalition building, and I think now Kathleen will build on that with talking about the First Ladies initiatives in Africa. So thanks, come on up. So thank you for being here this morning, and I'm really lucky to be able to follow Seth, who is the inspiration for a lot of what we're doing. And so I want to kind of give you really just a going from sort of treetops to grassroots and back again is what we're going to talk about here. So no relationships here. So we just want to look at how the Leadership for Women's Health came about and the First Ladies Initiative. I'm going to give you really a description of what we've been working on, understanding some of our partner matching objectives as we're doing this work with the First Ladies Initiative, and I'll explain what this is. And then how what's been happening with Sierra Leone. I actually went to university in Sierra Leone 30 years ago, before the war, and did some work there with traditional birth attendants with WHO 30 years ago as a medical anthropologist and epidemiologist. And sad to say, in some ways, that the country, having gone back subsequent to the war, is really is hurting relative to where it was 30 years ago prior to the war. And it's folks like SAS that have been the inspiration for many of us to return there, including a lot of the diaspora members. There are, in this country, 40,000 Sierra Leonean healthcare workers, actually. But there's really no place for them to go back. It's very demoralizing to try to go there. As you see SAS working with flashlights, no running water, no electricity in the operating theaters, it's just very hard for people to adjust their practices as they go back to work. But I want to just give you a little background on the origin of the First Ladies Initiative. In 2009, there was a health summit convened in Los Angeles, partly by the RAND Corporation, partly by a number of other organizations, to convene First Ladies at a women's healthcare summit to discuss their roles as leaders, although not elected leaders, in their countries. In many places, they really are the only visible female leadership at a high national level. And it, even though sometimes they're called, I don't know if you've ever heard this phrase, they're called duty-free women, because they are have a kind of a bad reputation of just sort of traveling with their husbands on the arms of their presidents, going through, you know, to conferences and doing things. Many, many of these women are incredibly serious and have their own professional careers. So a lot of them really came to the consensus that they needed help. And I don't know how many of you know about the First Ladies in our own country, but there is no funding for Michelle Obama's office. Everything comes from the West Wing to the East Wing. So if the president is supportive, then there's an allocation. Otherwise, there's no allocation for First Ladies anywhere in the world, actually. So the need to have these women who are professionals have their vision built upon, to empower them, to help establish standards, develop guidance on best practices, help them not, as they were finding, they were being requested to do many, many kinds of putting their fingers in the holes of many, many dikes and not really building on their power. So we developed a program that would generate global support for First Lady-led programs through strategic partnerships, both with agencies and grassroots organizations, and to foster the development of a global action network. Also, the other piece that's been important for us is to look at how we can develop an alumni group, as it were, of First Ladies as they have succession and leave office. and finding ways for them to be effective post-office experiences with their husbands. So the RAND African First Ladies Fellowship is a component that has continued through the RAND Corporation. The AFL Fellowship has been co-hosted by the African First Ladies, not by everybody. We've actually vetted folks pretty closely. There's about 15 First Ladies that we work with very closely in Africa. And we focus on building capacity of their offices and advisors, which is really important that we don't just work with the First Ladies, but we work with their chiefs of staff and key people in their offices to help them guide the First Lady and develop work plans. This has been happening now just for 2 years. Our first fellowship was in 2010 in D.C., and then just this past fall in New York following the United Nations General Assembly and the Clinton Global Initiative, which we work with very closely. Throughout the year, we have one follow-up meeting. Last year, it was in Zambia in the spring, and we do phone-based mentoring and monitoring and evaluation of impact and outcomes throughout the year as we're working with the chiefs of staff of the First Ladies and the First Lady themselves. And what we really have wanted to do is develop the institution of the First Lady and, as I said, smooth succession in this office. So this was a, I don't know if you can see on this slide, but the slide in the background is called Building Lasting Legacies, and you'll see a picture there in the sort of foreground of Laura Bush, Barbara Bush, Hillary Clinton, and Rosalind Carter, and the person that's speaking at the podium is Anita McBride, who was the chief of staff of Laura Bush and is very, very involved in it. We also had the chiefs of staff of Hillary Clinton and Michelle Obama as our speakers for the First Ladies and the chiefs of staff, which was probably one of the most moving and important things for our fellows to see. They were stunned to see these three chiefs of staff from these different administrations with highly polarized different parties involved, and they said, oh my goodness, this would never happen in our country in the past. We would have burned the office before they came in and destroyed all the files, and there would be no communication. And to see these women working together and transitioning so that, you know, Laura Bush and Hillary Clinton and Barbara and all these folks can still work together. Rosalind Carter's been very involved. Sherry Blair's been very involved. And we've been really trying to help, you know, have models for these folks to see that there is a way forward, that you can have a succession, and that there are ways to continue doing the work after you leave office. So this is actually a group of our fellows, the first year from Burkina Faso, from Sierra Leone, from Zambia, from an array of different places. We had a 12 countries the first year, 15 this last year. And the work is really driven with a lot by our own global health initiative here in the United States, looking at public-private partnerships being a really central part, figuring out how we can work with the supplemental guidance on women, girls, and gender equality principles. These 10 issues are considered in all of the national program that we work with. Considering that we take into account all the ensuring synergy from country initiatives. And what's really important, I worked in the past at UNFPA and WHO, and one of the biggest frustrations I think that we found at WHO is we would work with countries a lot to help them develop their national strategic plans. And then a funding agency would come in and say, you know, we really don't want to follow your national plan to work on sanitation issues. We're really interested in a malaria campaign or something completely different. And all of a sudden, because there was no funding for the national strategic plan, the country's plan would be derailed. And this happened in, I can't even, you know, a dozen nations that I can think of off the top. It's very, very frustrating for the countries to not be empowered when somebody else's agenda takes precedence. So really trying to make sure that, first of all, that there is a national plan, and SAS, for example, is a great person to be able to follow here because they really do have a plan, they have a strategy, they have a vision, and Mrs. Karoma actually has emulated Dr. Kargbo with her vision, which is to replicate birth waiting homes across the whole nation. That is her goal. And therefore, we are able to actually step in and support that and help her to have some successes in that. But making sure that these country initiatives take precedence over external funding streams is really an uphill battle. And what we have discovered, even though working with the First Ladies, we recognize that they are amazing professionals in their own right, we realize that proof of concept is required, much more than we realized, quite frankly. So while we had our wonderful group of women who are lawyers, women who are midwives, who are psychiatric nurses, who are whatever, this after this UNGA, the Washington Post did just exactly what I'm putting here, is they, in their style section of the Washington Post front page, they did a photographic essay on our First Ladies, talking about their head ties and their handbags and their pumps and their pantsuits. And it was really discouraging, I have to say. I mean, I realize this isn't a feminist women's caucus group, but it was really a little bit, you know, the First Ladies Club is how it was phrased, that these political wives got tips on how to become agents of how to become agents of change in their home countries. So we realize there's a lot of mixed perceptions, both internationally and even nationally, and internationally within the continent of Africa, which is where we're specifically working. On the one hand, they're seen as the mother of the nation. As long as they're not challenging you, you love mommy, you know, but otherwise, if they're really trying to push the envelope, some of the ministers can feel like these are, you know, smart women with too much influence already, you know, and so they really don't necessarily want these women to be taking the lead. So this is where our First Ladies Initiative, which we looked at initially as really being a kind of a policy level and office capacity building, we realized that there really might be a need to prove the concept on the ground. And so the Leadership for Women's Health program was really born as an outgrowth of the First Ladies Initiative. We're based with the Public Health Institute, which does a lot of on-the-ground work. RAND doesn't do that quite so much. And so we're working now to support, first of all, to support First Ladies programs in Sierra Leone and Namibia. You already heard about what SAS has been doing, and this is really what we're following. But what our proof of concept really is that the First Lady can make a difference. And we realize that we need to demonstrate that. We need to show that with this leadership, which is an informal leadership structure, but that has a lot of capacity to do a lot of partnerships with NGOs and with the Ministry of Health, and to follow the Ministry of Health with good plans and to support that, and at the grassroots level, that they can make a really big difference. So Sierra Leone is still dealing with a lot of war reconstruction. We're trying to build collaborative partnerships. This was a U.S. diaspora town hall meeting where we're finding, in this room, I believe there are 6 nursing staff members that don't go back to Sierra Leone very often because they find it really demoralizing to try to practice there. So trying to find ways to bring them back in, even for a couple of months at a time, sort of a reverse Peace Corps is one of the works that we're working on right now. We also are involving some of the local village leaders. This is in one of the towns where we're actually now in the process of breaking ground for another birth waiting home. Mrs. Karoma is in the blue. The paramount chief, with whom she's working very closely, is in the back. In the foreground is Ambassador Michael Owen, the U.S. ambassador to Sierra Leone, who, Mrs. Karoma can invite him to come to these things, which has a lot of prestige and buy-in, therefore, from the local community to find that they're actually getting international recognition. So we're trying to align with the First Ladies Initiative for Women's Initiative for Safer Health, which SAS already mentioned, which is really to work on Millennium Goals, Millennium Development Goals 3 through 6, reducing the maternal mortality. We're also working on development of the birth waiting homes and women's resource centers. This is a new addition to it, which, because Mrs. Karoma works on health and education, realizing that we have women waiting in a birth waiting home for sometimes 2 to 4 weeks, really want to use that time well. So we're working on introducing clean energy. Improved cook stoves is one of the big things that we're working on, which is why, actually, Mr. Fofana was going to be here talking about the improved cook stoves that he's done with ceramic liners, which are also opportunities for income generation, developing these improved cook stoves. And also, by the way, really will help reduce a huge number of burns with children under the age of 5 who fall into the traditional 3-stone cooking fires. So that's been a really big piece, helping them to work with the National Free Healthcare, getting the word out still is really important, and then the progressive legislation that's been passed at the village local levels and is moving up to be at the national level, which was really at the behest of SAS, whom you've already heard. So we're doing a lot of work with coordinating collaborative partnerships with Mrs. Karoma. She's got her hands full with a number of other kinds of things, so helping the First Lady's office work with to actually design a green, sustainable, local materially based birth waiting home that's sort of a step up from the earth-baked bricks, although we're using earth-baked bricks there, but using clay with a clay expert, Mr. Fofana, in place of cement, which is great because cement is very costly, it's imported, and it's also a thief magnet, which sets up sort of dynamic of trying to protect the building that's being built, which is actually being built by the community, from, you know, from itself. So it's an issue. Working with a number of different universities on translational science support from clinical research to community practice, introducing a cloud computing system, Salesforce, which is a customer relations management tool but can be used fantastically for longitudinal data tracking and is very easy because you don't need a server in country. It's just really been great. So working with the foundation to get them to sort of put it in place in Sierra Leone. A number of other folks, M-Women is a mobile phone group that's helping to introduce free phones into some of the communities that we can get it out there to the traditional birth attendants. Aprovecho working with us on carbon management, carbon sales. And just encouraging the, as I said, the international diaspora community to re-engage, and then local coordination with the First Lady's office. And in fact, we have our First Lady intern, Dio Spencer-Walter, sitting in the office. She just came back from working with the First Lady on behalf of First Lady's initiative, working with the First Lady there. So this is the land that was cleared for the birth waiting home, bricks being built. So we're really trying to follow, again, in Sasa's footsteps, and these are the, we hope, the future leaders and mothers of Sierra Leone Trial working with Mrs. Karoma to support these efforts across the nation. So thank you very much for your time and attention, and if you have any questions, we'll be able to take this at the end. Thank you.